Spending time outdoors in cold and ice and wind can really make you appreciate indoor heating. But this hour, we're talking about embracing the cold. Long-distance open water swimmer Lynn Cox has braved the icy waters of Antarctica without a wetsuit.
You're sort of jumping into this unexplored territory where people haven't been before in a bathing suit cap and goggles. Just the sensation of it is so extraordinary, to be in water that's 32 degrees and realize that it feels so viscous because it is so thick, because it is so dense. More than that, the water there is so clear, you can see as if it's like moving through sky. You can have glaciers snap off and become icebergs, and if you're swimming around them, it can be a bad thing. Beyond that, there was the wildlife. There are orcas, killer whales, leopard seals that are 10 feet long and weigh up to 1,000 pounds, and they can be aggressive. And actually, a British researcher was killed by one about 3 months after I was down there. I like this kind of exploration. I like the idea of pushing the body beyond what's been done and sort of feeling out what human beings can do and how far that reach can be.
Lynn Cox has been pushing her reach as an open water swimmer for years. At age 14, she swam from Catalina Island to mainland California. At 18, she swam between the islands of New Zealand. She broke the men's and women's records for the fastest crossing of the English Channel, and she crossed the Straits of Magellan. But that Antarctica swim, that was a whole different kind of thing. Steve Paulson wanted to know more.
Now, you had actually been training for this particular swim in the Antarctic for 2 years. What did you do to get ready for this extremely cold water?
The biggest thing I really needed to do was to learn how to swim more with my head up and at the same time have the power to move through the water. You lose up to 80% of your heat through your head. You know that, being in Wisconsin. And so the idea was that if I could swim head up, I would be able to prolong my ability to stay in the cold.
Hmm. Now, it's worth pointing out that you are a medical marvel. For some reason, temperatures that would kill a lot of other people don't for you. And scientists have actually tested your body, your physiology. What have they discovered about you?
They've discovered that I am able to close down the circulation to the peripheral area, to the skin and to the fingers and toes and hands and feet really rapidly and keep it closed down. If you took an untrained person and put them in the cold, you'd have that response initially. And then at some point, the body would say, you know, we need to get oxygen out to those tissues. And so they would send, the body would start sending surges of blood out there and then bring that cooled blood back to the core. But my body basically says, lose the hands, lose the feet, keep the core warm and keep the brain and lungs and heart going. And it also will sort of send out a minute amount of blood to the extremities at the fingertip level and at the toe level.
Okay, so you had your practice swim. You realized you could do that. Now it was time for the real one, for the whole 1 mile touching land on Antarctica. What happened?
Well, we took the ship down to an area called Paradise Harbor. And we were looking for beaches where I could land. There are areas that are huge glaciers that just sort of slide right down to the ocean. And you can't swim near those glaciers because you're afraid of the falling icebergs. So we kept looking for places where we could land, but there weren't many because the wind had shifted and the icebergs had sort of accumulated in different areas, and a lot of them were the beaches. So we searched for probably half the morning until we came to a place called Niuko Harbor. And it's this just beautiful area where the beach is maybe an 800-yard wide strip that's sort of terracotta stone, and there are glaciers on either side of it. And we saw that the weather was fairly calm and decided that it was a good day for a swim.
So you just hopped in the water and did your mile.
That's pretty much it. I mean, there's really no time to sort of quibble or second guess or wonder. The crew had been through the test swim. They knew what they needed to do. And so I went into the cabin to sort of sit down and focus.
Hmm. How difficult was that swim?
Really, 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 really hard. It was the most difficult thing I've ever done, mostly because I had done the test swim only a day before, and it took a huge amount out of me. And also, I had some nerve damage from that first swim, so I realized that my first line of defense of being able to tell how I was doing on the peripheral area, you know, on the skin level, was gone. But it was also hard because I really didn't like shivering so hard at the end of the first test swim. Your body has to work awfully hard when it's that cold to get warm again. And I think I was working as hard shivering as I had done during that first test swim. And I actually thought, you know what? I swam 9/10 of a mile. Maybe that should count as the Antarctic mile. This is all true. It's like, oh, no. And then I thought, you know, I've come this far, and this would be short as a goal, and I really should go for the mile. And I really wanted to swim to the continent, you know, not the subcontinent. And this was 32-degree water, and it was just that degree more. And so I think I just decided that it was time to do it when the conditions are right, and we went forward.
Now, it sounds just miserable. I mean, it's basically a survival test. Can you do it? Is there anything at all enjoyable about this?
It's not miserable, and it's not a survival test. I mean, those are elements in it, but it's also the idea that you are jumping into unknown waters, that you are swimming through water that is so clear that you can see penguins jumping in toward the end of the swim and swimming with you. You can see them porpoising through the water and see their water bubbles coming up all around you. And you are sort of in a world that nobody else has really been in this way before, or maybe even wanted to ever do it that way.
So what did it feel like at the end when you touched land? Did you have this great sense of triumph?
I had this great sense of triumph because it was as if we had done something never done. And I had a group of people around me who had shared in this idea and this dream. And I felt like it was an achievement that we really all shared.
Now, you've said this was your hardest swim that you've ever done, but you've done some pretty hard swims in earlier years. I mean, there was one, for instance, down in New Zealand where you, after, what, a few hours, you actually were further back from where you had started from because the waves were so big?
Actually, that's exactly right. I had been swimming between the North and South Islands of New Zealand, and there were two storms converging, and we weren't aware of it because we didn't have the weather satellite stuff that we have now. And so after 5 hours of swimming, I was further from the finish than I had started. The current had carried me around the North Island, and I was really fighting to go on.
But you did go on.
Well, I did go on because I had a school of dolphins who came in and started swimming with me, with the people in the boats. They were all around our boats. The water visibility was about 50 feet, and you could look down and see dolphins swimming around dolphins, and they would suddenly leap out of the water and then spin and spiral and click and squeak and chatter, and they stayed with me for about an hour. And in that time, I sort of lost the sense of, I can't do this anymore, so I kept going. And periodically throughout the next, I don't know how many hours, the swim wound up taking 12 hours and 2 minutes. But throughout the swim, the dolphins would come back in moments when I didn't feel like I could go any further. And actually, toward the end of the swim, they wound up guiding us right into an area where I could land on shore.
Hmm. And the story then of what happened throughout New Zealand, I mean, it sounds like it almost turned into a national celebration that you had done this swim.
Actually, while I was swimming and having so many difficulties, people throughout New Zealand began calling out to the ship's radio to say, you know, Lynn, we believe in you, keep going. There were Boy Scouts from Christchurch and beekeepers from Wellington, and people all over the country, even as far as the Bay of Islands to the north, were calling and saying, keep going. And actually, the Prime Minister of New Zealand called and said, you have the country of New Zealand behind you. So it was really extraordinary. And actually, during the swim, there were a couple ships that went across Cook Straits, and they came in and raised the American flag and tooted their horns and basically showed their support. So by the time I finished the swim, pretty much all the country, you know, the land of Hillary, knew about my swim. And then the next day, church bells were rung throughout the country at noon.
Lynn Cox tells the story of her cold adventure in a book called Swimming to Antarctica, Tales of a Long-Distance Swimmer. Steve Paulson talked with her.